This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back-in-stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want, because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, "Hey, I want this, just not right now." Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswim.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Today on the Unofficial Shopify Podcast, we are going to break down the Black Friday sale of one of my favorite brands, Montana Knife Company, who, you know, get ready to compare. Comparison is the thief of joy. We're not bragging here. This is for context. 1.72 million. That was their Black Friday. Not for the month. That's just the days from, you know, Black Friday to Cyber Monday. 1.72 million. And what's extraordinary about that is it is around double the previous year. And so really, you know, leading them to what I would have to imagine is their best year ever. But joining me again for the second time on the show, Brandon Horoho, co-founder, Montana Knife Company, who's going to talk us through their Black Friday, what they learned, you know, what they did right, and maybe what they could have done better. Brandon, thank you for joining us and doing this.
Yeah. First, Kurt, I have to say, we made it. We made it through Black Friday, Cyber Monday, 2025. With both of us being in like the e-com world, for some reason this year just felt different than other years. Nothing felt given. There felt like there was a lot of uncertainty going into Black Friday. I don't know. Like I said, like I probably have done, 15 Black Fridays in a row with different e-com brands and all of my previous, positions and stuff like that. This one here just felt different. I think it's just, the economic landscape, like all that stuff. But it just feels so good to finally be kind of on this back end of this and looking back. And, and it's easy for me to say that now, too, because like I said, we had amazing Black Friday. Everything that we, strategized, like worked, like everything, and then now we're even going into this, gifting period, we call in between Black Friday and last shipping day of Christmas. And our daily averages are just crushing. It just feels good to be on this side of the Black Friday for 2025, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for sure, you're right. It hit different because we didn't know what would happen going into Black Friday. My hope was, like October, my feeling was, I said, I think this is deferred spending. Because people who were running sales, the sales were performing really well. But people who weren't running sales, you'd see like conversion rate would be down. And then on top of it, Meta ads, the reality is it's just they're more expensive than ever. And my gut feeling is they don't convert as well. Like if you've got Meta ad traffic that's converting at 0.4% and it costs more than ever, it's tough to make those unit economic works. Those unit economics work versus then suddenly the sale runs. And I think there was a lot of deferred spending. It was people waiting for sales. No one wants to pay full retail on a premium item like an MKC knife when the narrative in the news is affordability crisis. And, we've been hearing that and inflation, at this point for 2 years now, maybe more. I don't know. But, so you're right. Absolutely thrilling to see the results after the fact. What was your gut reaction when you saw those numbers?
I was just excited. I mean, just because, like I said, like we have such a niche product. We're a very premium product in a very small demo. If you think about hunting knives itself, like there's only 2% of America who have hunting tags. So it's either you're a fan of the brand or you're a big hunter. And just to see like our customers show up, for those events that we planned for Black Friday, like every single day, is just it. It was more than like the feeling I get like when I have like a really good e-com sale. Like it's just like, hey, we're building this community. They showed up to support us, you know, and our customers too know that like this is a big year of growth for us. You know, we're like currently right now we are crammed into a 10,000 square foot garage, and you know we have 7 CNC machines downstairs. There is, I think,
that's 7 CNC machines in a 10,000 square foot space.
That includes all of assembly. That also includes all of our finance, all of our and we do our own 3PL. You know, that includes everything. I mean, we are as efficient as it gets in this 10,000 square foot, you know, building. And, you know, it's not a secret. Like we've been trying to build MKC in the public, and we've been showing that we're building this 51,000 square foot, like state-of-the-art American manufacturing system. It's amazing. My business partner Josh did such a good job. Like he actually general contracted the whole thing. Like that's how like in the weeds we are when it comes to growing this in this American manufacturing, like, you know, bringing this back to America. Like we want to be the example. And I think that's like what our customers are seeing is like, you know, like we're not going out and buying Porsches and Lamborghinis. Like we're still driving the work trucks that we've had for the past like 3 or 5 years. They're nice trucks. Don't get me wrong, but we're not.
I was going to say you have a very nice Dodge truck, sir.
I have a very nice to put it. But again, like I said, like we're not like there's no question that like every dollar is getting reinvested back into the company.
Yeah, you
know,
for sure.
So like that's like, and you know, and that's like what's a little bit different with us, you know, and we don't have a ton like, you know, there's no big VC backing us. Like we're literally bootstrapping every bit. You know, we have a really good relationship with banks, and just again, like we're trying to set that example that you can do it here. And I think that's like why we're excited to see those customers show up, you know, during that Black Friday week and seeing the repeat buys. And then also too, seeing all the new customers come in too. It's just amazing.
It sounds like you were cautiously optimistic about it. You know, was there, during your Black Friday sales, or maybe like right before, was there any moment where you thought like, man, this might break? This might be the year it doesn't work right.
I live every day like I think the customers are not going to show up tomorrow. Like I'm not kidding. I think I worry more about failing than succeeding. And I just kind of live in this like state of like tomorrow is not promised to us by any means. You know, and like I said, this Black Friday, you know, we had to get really crafty. Like I kept on saying to like the team and everything, I was like, this year is going to be a bar fight. There is nothing absolutely owed to us. It's going to be sloppy. You know, manufacturing is a little behind. We're going to have to pivot day of, which we did. And it still worked out. Like we've got some cool stories we can get into, but like this Black Friday, you know, we didn't have a lot of new products. Last year, you know, we dropped a bunch of new stuff. The year before, like, it's like the first time we kind of, you know, 2 years ago, it was like the first time we have chef knives and stuff like that, culinary sets. This year, you know, we were, you know, we didn't have a ton of new because we're so focused on getting into this new building that, like, you know, kind of product innovation is taking a pause while we, you know, transition over and online this new building, because this new building is going to bring innovation tenfold to us. Because, like, literally a sheet of steel is going to come in one door, and a knife is going to come out the other. We're going to be one of the only knife companies in the country that can say that. So this Black Friday, like the best way to put it is like we had to market. Like we literally had to do the art of marketing and build a system that was fun for our customers. And we had to give our customers what they wanted. Now here's the one thing too, is we didn't discount a single knife.
Interesting.
Yes. So, and we still haven't discounted a single knife during Black Friday since the history of this company for the past 5 Black Fridays. So like that wasn't even on the docket. Like you don't even like that's the, you know, my marketing team doesn't even have that lever to pull. Now, don't get me wrong. Like we discount our apparel, all that stuff. Like we want to flood the world with MKC hats, MKC t-shirts and stuff like that. So we can, you know, so I never say we never discount, but we can definitely discount our apparel. So for the knives, what we did differently is, you know, instead of having one big day, and we would always do it the Tuesday before, because our thing was always like, hey, we're going to do Black Friday on Tuesday so our team can go hunt, because it's usually Black Friday is the last weekend of hunting season here in Montana. But this year we changed everything up. Everyone kind of had to work. We were just like, hey, get your hunting in before Black Friday. It's going to be chaos. So we literally scrapped everything we knew about Black Friday and we started from scratch. And we looked at it as the entire week. And then what we noticed is that, you know, Montana Knife Company is just not a hunting knife company. you know, we're also a really big culinary company. And then, you know, with the intro to the tactical site, which you, you know, helped us build, which is one of the coolest websites ever, you know, we have MKC Tactical. And then we have our EDC Blue Collar. So we have these four personas that want completely different products.
So, so it, what we, it's hunting, chefs, home chefs, I assume, mm-hmm. everyday carry. So, you know, more like folding knife type customer. Not that you sell folding knives, but like that type of customer. And who am I missing there?
The tactical guys.
The tactical guys, MKC yep. Tactical. All right, so we got four personas. I think there's five. What's our fifth one?
So I think our fifth, well, those are the four main personas, but we had five big drops during that week, and I think just doubled up on the hunt space. But so, and like that was like our, that was our thing was like, hey, let's pull back, you know, and we did really, really huge last year, you know, with our culinary. We did $1 million in 10 minutes. Like that's
Holy crap.
I know that was last year's number. Like the story is absolutely wild. You know, we planned this and, you know, we didn't have chef knives for like 8 months. So we had a big built up demand for these chef knives. We released them and we did over $1 million in 10 minutes last year. And the funniest part is I'm literally driving a U-Haul from Northern Alberta with two moose in the back of it with my videographer driving through who knows where Alberta. And I'm stopped over at like a Subway or a Blippi, and I'm sitting there on my phone watching the sale go live. And it's just us alone on the, like in this like Subway with just the dude who built our subs. And he's trying to figure out why we're literally dancing on top of the tables. So that was last year. So last year we have a lot to, you know, a lot of, you know, ground to cover. You know, we crushed it last year. So, but what we did is we learned from that. We're like, hey, our culinary people want culinary knives. They love gifting it and all that stuff. But last year we kind of left out the hunt people and we left out the tactical and we left out all those other people. So if you were in culinary, that was the greatest thing possible. So then we did the same thing. We looked and we're like, okay, we can't discount knives. So let's get crafty. So we did culinary on Tuesday. We released the sets and the steak knives, which we haven't released the steak knives in over a year. Those sold out, crushed. We did.
And there was no sale, no discount, no promotion. Just this is now available. And these last time we talked, you had sold out 100 weeks straight. Like your inventory supply constrained by manufacturing, mm-hmm. by materials.
Right. And now like that, the supply thing has completely changed because now we have a ton of knives in stock. We're able to get our annuities, like those knives that our hardcore customers have had multiple times to buy. Like they're fine. Like, I don't need another Speed Goat, which is like our goal. That was our goal this year, was to get our customers to stop buying our knives so new customers can actually get a chance to buy a knife. It's just the craziest thing to say, but that's so like that's one beautiful thing about Black Friday too, is we have this in-stock base that we've never had before. Like that's like what really changed everything this year. But so then we still have our drops. And then like I said, like we looked at our hunt, you know, our hunt guys, and we're like, let's give them the knives that they want. What are our fastest selling knives that sold out this year? Let's go make as many as we can and put that out on. We did that on Thursday night, right during like Thanksgiving dinner. We dropped those three ultras, which is our carbon fiber, you know, hunting knife. That's the greatest knife ever. It's super light. It seriously is the best.
Got a carbon fiber knife now?
Yeah. So it's carbon fiber handles and it's Magna. I know Magna Cut steel. They're gorgeous. They're absolutely like the most gorgeous knives that we've ever made. And they're the most functional and they're the lightest and the sharpest and all that. So we launched that. That just absolutely crushed. And then what we did is on Friday is something we've never done before. We're like, okay, well, we need to do something for the EDC guys and the blue collar guys. We actually had a brand new model this is the crazy part is I tasked my team. I was like, we're not going to preview this brand new model until the morning. You get 12 hours to launch a knife from beginning to end. And it is your job to build as much hype as possible. And that's what we did on Black Friday.
That was quite the gamble. That's a tough thing to do. And we, you know, I know from your previous episode that there's, you know, a very clear cadence where you're spending at least a week, you know, or more building up the hype, and then the product gets released for sale.
Bingo. And like I said, like my team's probably sick of hearing me say this, but like our ethos, we like we put more effort into our restocks than most brands put into their product launches. And we put more effort into our product launches than most brands put in when they launched their brand. So like I'm talking about building custom landing pages and the amount of videos and the amount of UGC and like this, the whole layering system. Like if I was going to go launch a brand, that's how we launch all of our single products. So we had to do that within like a 12-hour period. And that was just fun for the team to do. It crushed. We sold out that night. It was really, really exciting. So we covered culinary, we covered hunt, we covered blue collar. And then Saturday, you know, we brought back one of our most popular tactical knives, which is the mini War Goat. And we dropped that midday. And that one there just crushed too. So, you know, for the first time of Black Friday, you know, we had all those drops, plus we had really big volume of each knife too. So, you know, they weren't selling out, you know, we weren't doing $1 million in 10 minutes. But we were still doing that just spread over an hour or, you know, if not more, because we just had more inventory of all of our knives. So like I said, just kudos to our, you know, our operations team, our manufacturing team, our engineers team, our marketing team, our finance team. Like we all had to work together, circle the boats and like understand that like we all, like everyone had to have their own parts to pull this off. And like when we pulled that off, like it is just awesome. And like I said, to do it without having a discount. And like having to beg for someone to buy our knives and stuff like that is just like, it's just, like I said, it's just such a cool feeling to have those people come in and support.
So we're assigning our Black Friday week strategy is, you know, we know we have our buyer personas or like our four core people, and you know, we're going to do a product drop for each of them, a product that you know, we know they'll love that will be exciting. In one case, a brand new one, and which like that one feels like the real risk here, but it paid off. And their finite inventory, the stuff all, I assume all of these sold out.
No. So they didn't. I mean, like we built a ton of them. Like, so like, and that's the thing too, is like, we're very clear with our customers. We are not trying to be a small niche custom like knife. Our goal is to make as many of the best knives for the customers who want them. I take that back. All of our culinary sets did sell out. All of our steak knives sold out. We have a couple ultras left. And the Bad Rock that we launched on Friday, that did sell out that night. So I guess we did have a lot sell out. We just had a few that we knew we overproduced on purpose because we didn't want to be sold out every single. We want people to buy these for gifts. Like we actually want people to buy our knives.
In the past, you know, that was the trade off to the success. Is it, you know, if you were a customer who's like, wow, I really love these knives, I just want to buy one, you had to wait. You know, and that could be frustrating. It also, you know, when you do finally get it though, it makes it exciting. But, you know, for you, it's like you want to sell the knives, you know? And so finally having the stuff in stock consistently is pretty exciting. Yeah. Looking at the site now, there's some nice items left on here. Like, the Bighorn Chef. I love the culinary stuff. I'm your culinary persona and man, I love these. There's a few of my faves in stock.
And that's like one cool thing we've done is that like, you know, so we launched the sets down that Tuesday, but then we were able to go and build some singles and stuff like that. So someone didn't want to, you know, buy that entire, you know, $1,300 knife set. Like we released singles a week later, you know, what we couldn't build sets of and stuff like that. That's the beautiful thing downstairs. We can look and be like, oh, we have an over index in black and this one model over index in red. Instead of just holding them and then building sets later, we were just like, hey, let's just release all the singles. And it's been great. Like people are just like, oh, this is awesome. Never afford a $1,300 set, but I can definitely go buy that one knife.
Yeah, you just want like the one really nice knife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, those order change emails suck. They're always like, I ordered the wrong size. I meant to change the shipping address. Oops, I was drunk. Instead of making customers email you that stuff, let them fix it themselves with Cleverific. Cleverific is a self-service portal that lets customers edit their orders without bugging you. That means you get fewer headaches, customers get faster fulfillment, and there's fewer returns overall. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their support tickets by 99% with Cleverific. You want in on that? Get 50% off the pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Done. Problem solved. That's Cleverific. Looking at your analytics, where does the traffic come from? you know, is this all email traffic? Is this, you know, are we paying for Facebook ads? Like, where are we getting these people? One bit of context. I believe your traffic goes up 63% year over year.
Yeah, it is 63%. Yeah, because it's actually greater than our like sales, because we just had so much traffic with like SEO and like all the other cool stuff. Like our website is becoming a hub for information, not just pure sales. It's a place that you can go and visit every single week and not have to try to buy something too. So yeah, traffic's been nuts. But you know, our paid strategy for Black Friday, it's not about the week of Black Friday. I'm all about pulling that slingshot back as far as possible and starting that. Like, so we started our like aggressive Black Friday paid spend in August. Oh, wow. So a couple months before. So like, to me, I always like, I tell my team that like the excitement, the new customer, the funnel, like that thing had like all of your work is done before November. Because like, you know, we make a very expensive product. It's not an impulse buy to go buy a $500 knife. So that person has to be like in our funnel, getting warmed up, reading the emails, understanding how drops work. It's not like, you know, an easy thing. Like there's a lot of friction to our brand. So that's what I was saying. Like all of our paid spend, you know, ramped up hard at the end of August through September, through October, and then, you know, into November. And we obviously, you know, we increase spend and awareness and retargeting during that week, but you know, all of our traffic came from our triggered marketing. You know, a majority of our, you know, everything comes from our SMS list, our email list. You know, we have well over a million person email list that we clean every quarter. You know, we have a top 1% Klaviyo account. And same thing that we know with our SMS list, you know, it's massive. So that's the biggest thing. And, you know, I was, you know, I screamed about this on the last podcast, every podcast I'm on, own your data, own it from day one. Don't care if your grandma buys a knife or buys something from your website, like make sure she does it through your Shopify and you have her email. Like I cannot express that enough to Shopify store owners, anyone in the e-com space, anyone growing a business, own your data. Like you want to be able to control your own weather. And that's what MKC does. So when we send out that text message, our website just gets flooded. And like you want to be able to have that power at will.
The magic of that first party data. So the idea, like ramping up the spend in August, the idea is really let's fill the top of funnel now so that we have those emails, we have those phone numbers in our SMS list, and we have, you know, customers pixeled for retargeting.
Right. Yep. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That makes sense. And then interesting, you clean that email list quarterly to keep it, to keep costs down, but also I imagine that also improves open rate, improves deliverability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like our email list is everything. So we not only clean it quarterly, we also, we run very aggressive segments, like 90-day segments. Most brands are not running a 3-month segment, like active segments. So you either had to open an email, clicked an email, visited our website. And if you haven't done any of those in 3 months, we stop sending to you. We have a very, very aggressive send schedule. And like, you know, this from being part of this ecosystem, like we have a very untraditional send schedule. Like, you know, we send out one email on Saturday. We send one email on Tuesday. We send one email on Wednesday. And then we send 3 emails on Thursday. We send 2 text messages on Thursday. So we hammer the people with this stuff. And like I always say, like, I try to market so hard, I want you to unsubscribe.
Like buyer, if you get don't off the list is the thinking there.
Yes. Yeah. Buyer, get off the list. So like that's, and like I said, it's just, and we're unapologetic about it. We're here to grow a business. We're here to bring back American manufacturing. You know, it's not like the old days of Yeti. We're like, hey, we want you to come watch this film and fall in love with the brand. Like, I love that strategy. That strategy was awesome. But like, we don't have the time to do that. Like, it's like, hey, are you going to join this revolution of bringing back American manufacturing? Like, and this is how you can support it. And we're going to show you how we're going to reinvest the money. And we're going to hire a bunch of people. And we're going to make you a really good product that we're going to stand by for generations, not just for your lifetime, but for when you pass that knife down to your kids, we cover it. So that's, you know, the kind of ethos that we have. And like, and you know, just the kind of attitude we have when we talk about like list cleaning and email and all that, we're very unapologetic.
So on, you know, your send cadence is aggressive, you know, on a regular week, with these product drops.
Yeah.
For Black Friday week, yeah. how aggressive do we get here?
Oh, I mean, I was like I said, like Mike, my number two, handles like our entire like econ stack. Like we just kept on looking at each other. We're just like, when is the unsubscribe going to go up? When is the open rate going to go down? And I mean, we hammered people. So like I said, so like, you know, we pretty much took our Thursday send sequence, you know, 3 emails, 2 text messages. And we did that almost every day. I think the only day we took off was Wednesday. And we still sent, I think, 1 or 2. We still sent a morning, all 90-day active in the morning. And then we sent retargeting in the afternoon for what some couple things that were left over in stock. So, I mean, we're still sending at least 2 emails a day from that, you know, from the Monday before to the Sunday. So the entire week, just hammering people.
So, and like, is that that's our North Star? We're going to look at unsubscribe and open rate. And when those start to slip, that's where we know like, okay, we're at our limit here. And then we'd pull back.
Right, right. I that's the only way. And then also customer service complaints. Like we got a lot of customer service complaints, but then I would go and look, they didn't unsubscribe. They just complained. So that tells me telling. Something. Yeah. They're still here. So yeah.
When I get those, I'm like, I don't reply. I just scroll down and click unsubscribe for them. Yeah, well, let me take care of that for you. And I will refund your $0. So you know, the other thing that's, I think, new to MKC this year, or maybe you know, expanded this year, is a VIP program. And I worked on this a little bit for you, getting it to work in Shopify Flow, to identify these customers with high customer LTVs, repeat purchasers. Mm-hmm. And I would have to imagine, you know, the VIP program is pretty cool. How does... You reward people with delight and surprise, where it's like yes. They hit certain tiers internally, and then they earn a reward based on that. And it's just a very clever variation on a loyalty program, except like really just done really well. Does that play into our Black Friday at all, or just you know another program that's nice to have?
Yeah. So I unfortunately, it doesn't play into Black Friday because it is surprise and delight. We don't talk about it like publicly. We like when you're a new customer and like you don't know that it's even an option. Like there's nowhere to sign up for it. It's something that we do manually. I mean, like there's some automation in the background to help trigger, but we've actually hired a person that runs this. Like it's not set up through an app or anything like that. It's like, hey, you know, it's set up through, you know, Shopify flows and things like that. And then it's like linked up to our Klaviyo so we can tell when people hit certain spend limits. But the idea is like, it all goes back to like, how do you want to be treated if you were a customer of another brand? You know, if you're spending a couple $1,000 with us, like you should get a gift. Like, cause you are literally investing in our company so that we can reinvest it and grow it. So like, that's how we did it, you know, and it started off as just a couple tiers and then people started hitting levels that we thought we would never have customers hit. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, we have people spending tens of thousands of dollars, you know, single people spending tens of thousands of dollars with the brand. So as they continue to reinvest in our company, like that's the right thing to do. We don't do wholesale. We don't do retailers. We don't do any of that stuff. So you know, how Josh and I always looked at it is like, instead of taking out like the wholesale buyer to Cabela's and taking him golfing on a golf trip or taking him on an elk hunt for $40,000, like this one dude that controls a weird destiny to some of these companies, like let's take that money and spread it over the people that have invested in our company that are helping us grow. So, you know, since we don't do that, we're like, let's take those incentives that most companies use and give them back to the customers. And, you know, it's worked out amazing and it's awesome and it changes. There's no like, cause it has to change because like, you know, some tiers are like, hey, you might get this backpack. But then that company we were working with doesn't make that backpack anymore. So we either change the backpack, we change the company. Like it's always changing. You know, we give knives out at a certain point and sometimes we don't have the same knife in stock that we gave out the month before. So you might get something different. You know, certain, you know, so it's always changing. And that's where like the Facebook group we have with the MKC User Society. And this is probably the most active Facebook group I've ever seen. And they watch this VIP program like a hawk because they're like, wait a minute, I didn't get this when I hit level 2. Wait a minute, you got this when you hit level 3. And that's what I love about it being surprise and delight. And it's set on our terms. so that we can, you know, we can change things and do things. And it's, so it's a lot of fun. It's wildly successful. And again, it's all about like, what's the right thing to do to the, you know, for the customer. Like if you were the customer of the brand, how would you want to be treated? And let's face it too. At the end of the day, we have 94% male demo. You know, and when we run the data on like finding out who our demo is, you know, they're very successful, hardworking, you know, men. And I can say that because that's like that's just our demo. That, you know, a lot of them own their own businesses. A lot of them are, you know, they're, you know, previous blue collar who have worked themselves into management positions. And, you know, I'll just say it, like, guys don't get a lot of gifts. And usually when they do get gifts for Christmas and stuff like that, it's, you know, the sweaters, the ties, the stuff that they can go and buy any day. So I think there is something extremely rewarding when you're gifting, you know, our demo something that they're getting something special that no one else is getting in the mail as a surprise. You know, I think it just hits a little harder, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%. I mean, well, I got the MKC Christmas box and even like that. Okay. There wasn't a knife in there, but man, even that was really exciting. In last year's you had the fur trapper hat in there. I'm still wearing that thing. And this year there was a cast iron pan in there. I hadn't owned that 30 seconds out of the box before my wife was like, that's mine now. Yeah. She got that. It's good stuff. Like a lot of the accessories, you know, the branded stuff really adds to, you know, like the full collection and the feel of it. One of the numbers in looking at your Shopify analytics, one of the numbers that really jumped out to me is return customer rate. Return customer rate is unusually high here, 58% over Black Friday. Wow. I mean, that's like subscription consumable businesses would be envious of that number, right? If I was selling coffee, I would be thrilled with this number. To have that on hard goods, on durable goods, quite extraordinary. Also means you're getting a ton of new customers during Black Friday. Tell me about this. How do we feel about it?
So it's so funny because for the past, like we touched on this a little bit earlier in the podcast, but like 55% to me, like I am doing everything I can to get that number as low as possible. I want it, like we saw it, I think yesterday, it dipped down into the 30s for the first time in company history. And me and my CFO were like high-fiving each other. Like that was the greatest thing we've ever seen because like we've been like our customers just come back so much. And like, so our retargeting, our lower funnel is just so healthy. The brand sentiment, like all that stuff, you know, we have over a 90 NPS score, you know, for the past like 4 years. So it's just, so my goal is to get new customers into the funnel. Like, and that's like, I mean, that's been my number one goal this year is to just get more brand new, net new customers into the funnel. So when I see that, you know, on drop nights, on Thursday nights, you know, I'll see returning customer rate at like 85, 90%. Like, and then like throughout the week, it will start dipping down because of like in-stock sales will change. So like there's like, we'll see insane like return customer rates depending on the models and things like that. You know, something like the Blood Brother, you know, drop, which is a very niche drop that's perfectly tailored to our customer. Like that's why we made it. Like that had like a high, you know, 80s return rate on, you know, last Thursday. So, the support we have from our like fan base and our customers is just insane. But our goal is to also get new customers into that funnel too.
The hits keep coming here because your AOV went up too, and not a little. It went up 20% year over Black Friday. If I have to hazard a guess, it is the success of the culinary line that helped drive that. That's my theory. What are your feelings on the AOV going up 21%?
There's no question that a $1,300 chef set is going to change, you know, that, you know, especially whenever your average AOV through the year is, you know, like we're like, you know, high 200s, low 300s, depending on the models that mix that month. So the culinary set, the steak sets definitely helped with that. But then also too, when we did the honey knives, we did our most expensive, you know, those carbon fiber ultras are, you know, some of our most premium knives too. So that helped a ton. And then you add on like all the t-shirts and all the hats and all those things for the add-ons. Like we run that Rebuy app and we're another one of those top 1% Rebuy customers or, you know, your clients. Our Rebuy just like just, it's so easy to add a hat and a t-shirt and a cutting board and some seasoning and all of our accessories that we've seen the highest add-on rate that we've ever seen before too in history.
So it's cross sells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of cross sells.
Yeah, cross sells definitely help. And that's like, that's the value of having those complementary products, those accessory products that speak to the brand. And I don't know, they make it more fun. I don't know if fun's the right word, but you know, they breathe life into the brand, you know, more so than just if it was only knives.
Mm-hmm. And like that, and all of our products come from the marketing team. You know, it's the people that have like, that are one step removed from the customer. Like we know our customer, we are our customer, and like, and it gives us a chance to do something fun that doesn't tax downstairs. You know what I mean? Like when I say tax downstairs, but like it doesn't affect the manufacturing capabilities of the knife side. So we're able to go out and go and source and work with other brands and collabs and do all these things that we know that our customers are already, you know, purchasing from and things like that. And, you know, like next year we have a whole American made like apparel side that's coming. That's going to be, it's insane. Like, I spent, you know, 5 years, 6, 7 years in the apparel world, and we're doing things that people said you're not going to be able to do as a brand that sells, you know, as a sub brand. And like we're literally going to the mills and finding fabric and then shipping it across the country to California to get sewn. And then it's going to be like our custom hoodies, our custom hats, our custom t-shirts, you know, all of our labels, all of our buttons, like. And it's like, that to me is like one of the most exciting projects going into 2026. And we get to do that because like we have this customer base that wants to support our brand and wear our clothes. And, but we're also doing it in the right way. We're trying to figure out how to do it, you know, domestically, which is not easy. It's not impossible. It's just not easy.
Yeah. No, it isn't. It isn't. This one, I'm not sure how it happened. Conversion rate over like year over year went up 12%, but we're not discounting. Is it because we're running free gift with purchase promos? Like, what do you think bumped our conversion rate up at a time where typically conversion rates have slipped a little year over year?
Mm-hmm. So it's been wild. And to full transparency too, like our conversion rate has been down all year. And it's been something I've been tracking, but like our conversion rate's always been weird because we've always sold out, you know, and there, like, I could tell you, there's been times where, you know, we sold 1,000 knives and there was 2,000 people with knives in their cart that got their products ripped out and they couldn't buy them. So like how do you equate, you know, conversion rate as a marketer or a business owner? So it's something we've never really tracked, but this year it was down a lot. And we think that's just from like the type of content we're putting on our website. We're putting a lot of consumable content, a lot of SEO, a lot of things like that. So hopefully people are just going to the website, learning something and leaving. Totally fine with that. Hopefully they come back later through our retargeting. And then we also did the giant truck giveaway, which, you know, flooded that one page. You know, we had, you know, almost 1 million impressions just on that page itself. So like there's nothing to buy there because it's just sign up and it's, you know, it's just an opt-in, you know, like we're not doing the buy X, get, you know, so many rewards and, you know, get extra entries and things like that.
Yeah,
so
you
it's
try
just
to do
purely,
like the raffle tickets, which right, we've done right, those, right. They work well, but you know, yeah, it's a whole extra thing.
Totally. So, but going into Black Friday, I think the biggest thing is that versus last year we didn't have knives. We sold out and we were like, we just like had some very niche knives that were not good gifts. So just having our top products in stock, just going into today, like it's insane. Like where our average is right now, you know, it's only 10:48. That's what's helping our conversion rate. We have products to sell versus years before.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. December's not over, and neither are your sales opportunities. You just survived Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but are you maximizing every order that's still coming in? One-click upsell automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer journey. Holiday shoppers are still buying. Gift cards, last-minute orders, New Year prep. Make every sale count. Launch pre-purchase and post-purchase upsells for every product in one click. Customers see personalized offers and spend more automatically. Unlike other apps, you only pay for results, not views. Takes under 2 minutes to set up, starts working immediately. Don't let December revenue slip away. Go to Zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's Zipify.com/KURT. Finish the year strong, my friend. All right, if we doubled revenue, that means probably like orders roughly doubled. Were it any issues handling fulfillment, you know, or that like we've got worked out? I imagine that you're probably pretty comfortable with.
Our shipping department is insane. It's like, I don't understand how they do it with the small space that they have. You know, even outside of Knives, we have over 800 SKUs in our apparel and accessories and stuff like that. That's all housed across the hallway from my office right here. So the biggest priority is if it has a knife, the goal is to get that out within 24 hours. If it's just an apparel product that gets bumped to lower priority. So, and our team just does so well at organizing all the packages before. And then what we do is we'll actually turn the assembly line. We'll stop making knives for a couple hours. Everyone turns into shipping. So like, that's like one thing I don't see a lot of other companies doing. So what we'll do is we'll flex labor from, you know, one department to another department just to get the right, you know, process done when it needs to get done. So that was something we did, but I'm not going to say it was easy. We shipped over, you know, 15,000 items. You know, we had a very, very, very small, you know, error rate. But like just the entire, that shipping department is absolutely insane. And I can't wait to give them a little bit more space and a little bit more room to even better organize and stuff like that. But it's like, that's like what every like business advisor tells us to do is like, hey, you like, when are you guys going to go to a 3PL? We're like, we're not. We're never going to go to 3PL. If anything, we'll go launch our own 3PL. But like the fact that you buy a knife and it ships the next day is our guarantee. Like that's something we can never risk doing a 3PL. Or if you buy a knife from us, but then you added a bunch of things and those orders come in different shipments. Like I've had that happen. It's just sloppy. It's not a good customer, yeah, you know, experience. So I think we're just going to kind of own our shipping from here on out. Like
the unboxing is part of the experience. Like you always have really great packaging. There's an unboxing experience to it. And that stuff, when you're doing it all internally, much easier to maintain, adjust, et cetera, versus with the 3PL, you know, they really, it makes sense, but they really resist having anything bespoke per client.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like our packaging is, it's labor intensive, but it's worth it because it is like opening up a gift every single time you buy a knife.
So I want to know, like, let's zoom out here for our Shopify store owners who are listening. Cause like you're a humble guy, but if I'm listening to it, I'm still like, hey, yeah, that's great. You know, 1.7 million over Black Friday sounds nice. You know, I'd like that too. And number one, with this drop model, is this sustainable? You know, do we think we could keep using, will these same tricks work? I say tricks, but will the same playbook work in 2 years?
Right. It's going to shift. It's going to change. The drop model is always going to stay because what I want people, like people are so hung up on the drop model and they're so hung up on like building false scarcity. The problem is that we don't do false scarcity.
Yeah. It's not false is the thing.
Yeah. Right. Right. Literally, like I've been telling people, trust me, if I had more knives, I'd sell them to you. Like this is how many we could make Thursday morning. What I want people to do is to not look at it as a drop model. It's just that we have a shit ton of energy every week that we just focus on one knife every week. So like that's what I think is always going to work is that, you know, we're always going to have knives in stock. And, you know, what we learned is, you know, we all thought the same thing, you know, back in, you know, 2021, 2022, 2023, when we only had knives to supply Thursday night. And we would sell out Thursday night and we'd have no knives on our website until next Thursday. And people were like, well, you're just building up the scarcity going into Thursday. What's going to happen once you have knives in stock? And we were like, no, and we kind of agreed with them. We're like, this is, we'll probably have to shift to a different model or something like that. But then what we found out is that, you know, there's different customers. There's customers that want to go on Thursday night, order that knife. And then there's also customers like, I just want to order a knife for my dad. His birthday is in a week. Can I just buy him a knife? And like, so our drop sales have never, you know, they never dropped or decreased when our in-stock goes up. Our in-stock sales only have increased and our drops have actually, and then, you know, now that we can manufacture more, our drop sizes have gotten much bigger. And that's, and it's, you know, it, that's a hard thing to like talk about, because it's just like, we don't like, no, we're selling more knives Thursday night and we're selling more knives during the day. So it just works out. But we have this, but like, we're always showing up. We're always putting energy in. We're doing these beautiful photo shoots, these beautiful videos. Like, we're all this entertainment. We're giving you behind the scene in the vlog. Like, so that's, it's not easy. It's a lot of work. I mean, we figured out it's like 80 something pieces of content a week when you break it out over Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and our product pages and like all the Josh's page, my page, like all this stuff. So it's a lot of work, but once you do it every single week, you know, those buckets are there. It's just my creative team's job to put the coolest stuff in that bucket. And like, they love that, because there's no decision fatigue. Like, they don't like, oh man, like, what should I work on this week? I'm like, I know exactly what you need to work on. We're launching Blackfoot Damascus and I need the best videos possible. And they run out and go do that, come back with the greatest content. So like I said, like, to me, it's the same way that you have lean, you know, manufacturing, you know, systems and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of like what we build on the marketing side. Is, you know, we've removed all the decision fatigue from the creatives and the marketers, and they know exactly what to work on every week. And that drop model, you know, it may change where, like, you know, we can't do the sixth restock of the Stonewall anymore. Like, we're seeing like that's just something we can't do. So now we have to be like, all right, going into 2026, 2027, like, you know, our drops might have to get, you know, there might be a little bit more of a custom feel to it. Maybe we're getting more into the Damascus, or we're doing something with a different handle, or doing something, things like that. But figure out what the customer wants and give that to them.
And for someone who may be struggling this year, you know, not seeing the same year-over-year growth, is, you know, what do you think is the magic that MKC has that just, you see consistent growth year after year? Is that having that consistency of marketing plan, where it's like, we know exactly what we're going to be doing every week, and that's going to happen no matter what? Like, is that the secret sauce? Is that the takeaway?
I mean, I think you nailed it. I think that is exactly what it is. Is like, we're not the smartest marketers, and we're not the most proficient marketers. I mean, you work with us, Kurt. You know that.
I work with you, and I agree. I don't agree. I think you're really quite good.
We're good, but like when I go look at like some of like the really good performance marketers who are able to dive into meta ads and manipulate meta ads and do all this stuff, like, that's not our forte. Our thing is like, A, we know how to build culture, we know how to build a community, and we know how to entertain, and we know how to, you know, just bring energy every single week. You know, we went through this full branding identity, you know, and the creative agency looked at us and goes like, you're not a company, you're a rock band. Like he's like, and he's like, I mean that. He's like, it's different, because it's like, you guys are almost dropping a new album every week, and you're coming out with new creative, and you're doing all this stuff. And it made us realize, like, that's, you know, and we pull a lot of our inspiration from, you know, music and stuff like that. And, but like, I think that's honestly like how companies moving forward are going to have to, like, you have to win with creative, you have to win with, you know, collaborations. Like, that's what's going to beat all this like AI slop, is because like AI can't, you know, fake, you know, Josh going and giving a house away with Chase Rice, one of the biggest country music stars. Like, those are things that like we have to, you know, manufacture ourselves. And, you know, you just can't, you know, there's no prompt for that, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do the things that are difficult to replicate, do things that don't necessarily scale to a point. So, all right, going forward, what's next for MKC? What can we expect in 2026?
Yeah. So, I mean, 2026 is going to be a big year for us. It might not be a big year of like top line growth, but it's going to be a big year for us, because like, we're moving into our new building. We're bringing in 3 to 4 new processes on the manufacturing side that we've never done before. You know, and just like, and also too, like 99% of most knife companies don't do these things in house. They outsource them. The problem is like, we're just constraining our contractors in the United States, you know, for the heat treat and stuff like that. So we're going to bring a lot of processes in house. That's going to be really taxing on our engineers, our machinists, like all that stuff. So there's going to be a lot of internal growth that you're not going to really see on the, like, the marketing side. We're obviously going to tell the stories, but like, you know, it's hard to like understand like how hard that is to onboard these processes. But then also too, you know, it's no secret, you know, the one knife that we don't have in our repertoire is the folder. You go look at any of our competition or any of our peers in the industry, you know, they sell, you know, 8 folders to 1 fixed blade. We only sell fixed blades now. So our goal is to manufacture the best folding knife possible in 2026. You know, making 1 folder is easy. Making 1,000 folder is a little harder, but trying to make, you know, enough to scale so that everyone who wants an MKC folder, that's a whole nother different process. Like, so it's going to be a lot of work on our team to figure out how to do that and, you know, not break systems and also put out a, you know, a superior product that, you know, matches this, the same quality as our fixed blades. So that's our 2026. You know, we have a lot of stuff that's kind of like on, not so much on the marketing growth side, but it's like on the internal business side.
Man, a folder that I would have to, I need one of those real bad.
I know it opens up our, like our total addressable market from like hunters, it was just 2% of the United States to like anyone with a pocket. There's a lot of pockets.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a stereotype about, yeah, about men or about dads. You're like, oh, well, someone has a box that needs to be opened. 10 dads appear with folding knives, myself included. But
So we're really, really excited about that. It's a large mountain that we have to climb, but it's definitely going to be worth it. It's just going to take some really smart people to help us do that.
And man, Brandon and the MKC team, dude, congrats! 1.7 million on a Black Friday, incredible. And that 104% year-over-year growth. I mean, just unreal. I'd love to see it. Having worked on the site, you know, having done a lot of that work, it's exciting. I'm thrilled for you. I'm thrilled for MKC. Where, if we want to get on the list, where do we go?
Honestly, just the MKC homepage. If you can't find our opt-in or to sign up, like, that's my problem. I got to figure that out. But trust me, like, you should get inundated with pop-ups that you helped me set up, Kurt, and all that stuff and all the landing pages. So that's the best thing. Sign up for the text messages. Like, that's the greatest thing we can do. We don't send out as many text messages. We do emails. It's just like, hey, this knife's available. Do you want it? Yes or no? Simple as that. We're not going to sit there and hound you about every little discount and thing like that. So, but then also too, follow us on our socials. We're very transparent about our company. Our YouTube, you know, like we post a behind the scenes video every single week of how we're building this company. You know, our goal is to inspire other companies to do what we're doing.
I follow you on Instagram and I enjoy it a lot. Got good stories. It just A+ quality content. Brandon Hirojo, Montana Knife Company. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Kurt. And again, I appreciate, you know, just your friendship, but then also to like your partnership, you know, with MKC and helping us, you know, with all these crazy endeavors. Like you said, we market on hard mode and we throw some problems to you that I'm like, let's just have Kurt figure it out. And right now you're batting 1,000, man. Like, I just appreciate all the help and support. We couldn't do it without you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You made my day.
Yeah.
I gotta go write some show notes and go shopping for some knives. Cool.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Kurt. Hey, have a good one.
Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.